please, Mark, the fifth chapter. Fifth chapter of Mark, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 25, read down through verse number 34. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touches my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saying, thou, who toucheth me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him of the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Let us pray. Father, thank you again today for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. I thank you for how good you are to us. I thank you, Father, for the Word of God, the privilege here in America to read that this morning. And Father, just to be around God's people and be in a place where people have come willingly, wanting to come, hear the Word of God. I want to thank you for that great privilege. Now, once again today, Lord, we need you. We need your power, need your wisdom. And Father, I just pray that there will be an attentive spirit, that, Lord, that we as a people will listen to the Word of God today and be encouraged by it, be strengthened by it, be helped by it. Whatever it is that we need today, Father, I pray that you'll supply that. And now, Lord, again, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And I ask you for it in the lovely, most wonderful, precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I think everybody understands there's two classes of people in this world when it comes to spiritually. And there's the believer and there's the unbeliever. There's the saved and there's the lost. Now, God's people, they're the believers. They're the ones that believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for their justification. They believe that. There are people who live by faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. And so God's people, we're the just. We're the ones that have been justified. If you're saved, you've been justified. And you're the just. And so you and I live by faith. And now, but today we're going to basically confine our living by faith concerning the thing concerning salvation. In other words, we live, once we get saved, we live by faith, but we get saved by faith, you see. Saving faith. That faith that brings us to Jesus Christ and gets our sins washed away in his precious blood, you see. And we come to that place of salvation, that enjoyment of salvation, knowing God as our Savior. What a blessing that is. Now the question in the Bible says, and that's over in Acts the 16th chapter, but this man, this jailer, asked a question. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now that's quite a question, you see. And this man was asking from the human standpoint. He was saying, "What is it I must do to be saved?" Now, at infinite cost, God provided salvation for you and I. Without any help whatsoever from you and I, God provided it for us. God the Son, the only begotten Son of God, came down from heaven and purchased that salvation for us. He made it available to us. He did that by dying on the cross of Calvary, dying there, shedding his blood for our sins. What a wonderful, wonderful salvation it is. God the Father accepted that which he had done. God the Father raised him from the dead. And he accepted what he had done for our salvation, you see. And of course then, salvation is offered unto every man. God wants every person to be saved. And so God offers that salvation that Jesus died for. He offers that then to every man. Now, on what terms can we receive that salvation? The question is, what must I do to be saved? The answer to that was, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so in other words, there's one thing that man must do to be saved. The only thing he can ever do, it doesn't mean that he's working for salvation, but there must be something he does to receive the gift of God. And the Bible tells us he must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. At least 150 times in the Bible, in the New Testament, faith and believe are used in connection with salvation, in the way to get saved, believe. Those two words of what we call would be a synonym for each other. In other words, they mean the same. You could take that and you could say believe and put faith in there, and it would be the very same thing. 150 times in the New Testament, God talks about salvation. How do you get saved? It's through faith. It's through believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, what does it mean to be saved, to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean? It simply means this. It means to place all of your confidence, all of your trust, completely in Him. No one else, nothing else, but you are absolutely believing upon Him as the one who will and can save you. No one else can do it. But you must put your faith, your trust, your belief in Him. There's a little song that says, I'm trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee, trusting Thee for full salvation, great and free. And I say to you, that's the only way you can get to heaven, that I can get to heaven. It's the only way any of us are going to get there, is through that faith, that trust in Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It means you put your whole trust, your whole commitment is in His hands concerning salvation. He's the only one who can do it for you. He's already provided all there needs to be for that salvation. And you're putting your faith, your trust in Him. Then we find that faith in Christ as our personal Savior, and let me say this and then clarify it so you'll understand, basically comes in three steps. Now, it doesn't mean that you have these steps to get to salvation. It comes at a certain place, but there's a couple things that have to happen before you're ever going to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So what we're going to do this morning, I've asked God to try to help me to just make salvation so clear and so plain this morning. I want you to understand it. I want you to know what God is saying in His Word concerning salvation. So first of all, He just simply says this. He says to us, you have to first hear it. You have to hear it. Now that's my job this morning. I'm going to do my best for you to hear about Jesus Christ. And first of all, you must hear Him. In other words, before I can believe the gospel, I must hear it. That's why we got a mission board back there. That's why if you go back there and go through those doors and go to your right and you look on that board, there's an 8-foot by 4-foot mission board there, and it's pretty well covered with missionary letters. You know why we have them there? Because if people don't hear the gospel, they can't get saved. See, they've got to hear. And that's why we send out missionaries. That's why your pastor constantly talks to you and to myself also and encourages us to be sure and give out the message of the gospel. Because if they don't hear, they won't be saved. They have to hear the message. You see, before they can believe that Christ is able and willing to save them, they must hear that He is able and willing to save them. If you go with me over to the book of John, fifth chapter of John, listen to what he says in a wonderful verse there, verse number 24. In chapter 5, John 5, 24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now Jesus said, I'm saying this to you. Brother Ross is repeating what Jesus said to them. I'm reading it here today, telling you what Jesus said to these people. And he said, "He that heareth my word." You've got to hear the word of God first. That's why we just make such big mistakes in Christianity today. We go around thinking that maybe our lifestyle can get somebody saved. If we'll just live that Christian life before everybody will just recognize all at once that that's the way you get saved. That guy's saved, so I guess I ought to get saved. No. You got to hear the word of God. Lifestyle is wonderful. You ought to live like a Christian. You ought to do right. Well, do all those things. Absolutely should. But I'm just simply saying, by a lifestyle, you're not going to get saved. You're going to get saved when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to hear the word of God before you can believe it. Amen. So that's important that you understand that. The first thing is you've got to hear it. That's why we've got to do everything we can to get people into the house of God, get them under the preaching of the Word of God, to get them here where they'll hear that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them and wants to give them eternal life. We've got to do that. That's why we've got to go out on the streets and the highways and the byways and tell them that Jesus loves them. That's why we got to hand out tracts. Everywhere we go, just hand out tracts and tell them that Jesus loves them, because without them hearing, they'll never get saved. Understand? That's why we got to send missionaries all over this world. We just got to do it. We got to get a word out, because it's through hearing, then they can believe the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing is, after hearing it, they've got to believe it. In other words, now I'm going to clarify that. They've got to believe it with a mental assent. In other words, they've got to come to that place where they say, you know, I believe what he said is true. You know, I've had here a while back last week, we was talking to an individual who told me when we got done with the gospel and all of that, that they believed it. But I said, well, then, great. I said, wonderful thing. You need to get saved. No, I'm not ready. You see, you can believe something. You can believe up here about the gospel. You can say, there's the gospel. Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose again. You know, I believe he did do that. But there's got to be not only believing, but a trusting. And I'm saying to you, you've got to be awful careful, because many people will say, well, I believe in God. I believe about God. And so because of that, they think they're ready for salvation. But folks, it's not just believing up here. Multitudes believe up here, but they don't believe down here. And so again, I'm saying to you, after we've heard the Word of God, we've got to believe it with a mental assent. We've got to say, Brother Ron, I hope you don't mind if I use you, Brother Ron Allen. Bless his heart. He spent a lot of time here in this church listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he heard it, but it was a good long time before he really come to say, I really believe it. Wasn't it? There's nothing wrong with that. Bless his heart. He's sitting here today because God dealt with him and he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. But I'm saying, it took time for him to even say, you know, I really believe that's true. It took a long time. A lot of people witnessing to him. A lot of people talking to him. Amen? And a lot of people praying for him. Amen? But I'm using him because he's a good illustration. You know, there had to come a time, though, when he did say, you know what, I do believe that's true. And then, thank God, there was a time down here when I'm still remembering taking his Bible and putting it up to his forehead. I just kind of remember that. And anyway, after I can't remember. Brother Jack, was it you and somebody else? I can't remember who else was with you. Tom, wasn't it? Tom with you? Yeah. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. He believed it. See, he believed it. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, you've got to hear it, though. If he had never heard it, never had an opportunity to believe it. Understand? Now, you see, we're making a big mistake. I'm telling you, churches all over this nation making a big mistakes because people like you sitting in churches go out every week and never mention Jesus Christ to anybody. Never. They'll come back on Sunday morning, maybe. Usually that's about all there is, Sunday morning. But they'll come back. And they'll go out and again another week and never tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Folks, that won't get it. That ain't going to get anybody saved. It's getting the message of Jesus Christ out. Getting it out there, you see. And then people can come to the place where they say, I believe it. Are you still over in John, 5th chapter of John? I want you to look at some in verse number 39, 5th chapter of John. Search the scripture, he told these Jews. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Now listen to what he's saying. He said, they had the Bible, the Word of God. They searched that Bible. They thought because they had the Bible that God gave them, the Jew, the Word of God through the Jews, they automatically had eternal life. They didn't. He said, and yet in the Scripture, in the Word of God, it teaches about me. All through the Word. But listen to what he says in verse 40. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. In other words, see, they thought just because God had given them the Word, they searched the Scriptures, they had all of this, well, automatically they was God's child. That's a long story. We preached through Romans, and what a tremendous truth we learned through there. There was things in there that they believed they was God's children because of circumcision, because they had the Word of God and Abraham and all of these. And they thought they just automatically was God's children. They weren't. They had to have faith. They had to have faith, and that faith had to be in Jesus Christ, you see. So he said, you will not come to me. In other words, they was making a choice not to come to Jesus Christ so that they could have life. So first of all, we must hear the Bible. We must hear the message of the Word of God. We must then believe it. We must say, yes, I believe that is true. But let me say to you, that is not, at that point, is not saving faith. It's essential. We must hear it. We must be willing to say it's true. But let me say to you also, you must be willing to trust Him. Not only just say it, hear it, say it, and believe it, but no, trust. You must put your faith in trust in Jesus Christ. You must put your confidence in Him. For what you have heard and you've believed, you must now place the confidence in Jesus Christ, trusting Him, saying, you're the only way of salvation. I not only hear it, I not only believe it, I now trust you. You see, and multitudes of people out there saying, I believe in God. I meet them every week. I'm going to tell you folks, and you probably do too, I believe in God. They're just as lost as they can be. They've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you see. Now, if they have, they're saved. But they just say, I believe in God. It's not just believing in God, because the Bible says, listen to what the Bible says, you know, even the devil believes in God and trembles. Amen? Sure the devil. You think he's saved? Of course he isn't. Going to be in a lake of fire forever and ever. So I'm just simply saying we must hear the message of Jesus Christ. We must believe it. That's necessary. But then we must trust Christ. And when we do that, that excludes all efforts whatsoever of our own. See, when we trust Christ, we're saying, I am nothing. I can't save myself. I can't do anything whatsoever. Everything is committed to Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Him for everything, for my salvation. You see, not me, not anything I've done can ever get me to heaven. Amen. So there must be that trust in Jesus Christ. Has there been that time? Not only have you heard it, but you believe it, and you place your trust in Him. Has there been that time? That's what you've got to decide this morning. I want to look up now. We go back to that text that we were seeing. I want to look up at least three different times in the Bible where this is illustrated. It's illustrated a lot more than that. But I just wanted to look at these as three times to look at it as God saying, you hear it, you believe it, and you trust Him. In our text back here in the book of Mark, I'm going back there, 5th chapter, verse 27. You notice in verse 27, I read the text, and this woman had come to see Jesus Christ and saying she could touch His clothes, she could be healed. You notice what it says in verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, someone had told her about Jesus. Who that was? I don't know. He's not mentioned, folks. There'll be a lot of times you won't be mentioned, but if you just keep telling them, it'll be all right. God knows. Didn't tell you who that soul winner was or who that witness was that just simply told her about Jesus. don't say. But it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. You notice, first of all, she heard. And when she heard, she believed. You say, how you know she believed? Because she came. You know, I believe that, you know, they're telling me about this Jesus, so I'm going to go check him out. I'm going to go see. Now, how do you know he trusted? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 27, again, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Look at verse number 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. See, not only did she hear it, she believed it because she came to see Jesus, and she went up and touched him. That's trust. She was placing the trust of her physical condition, everything, in the hands of Jesus Christ at that point, and she touched his garment, and she was healed. And of course, on down, he tells her that she was made whole. I believe she was saved. I believe she believed upon Christ Jesus and was saved. But you notice there, she not only heard it, she believed it, and she trusted. Amen. You know, that trusting is a difficult thing sometimes. For you're getting from the place of where up here to down here, about 18 inches. I sat in church services for quite a while before I got it from here down to here. Amen. Quite a long time. I listened to it, I heard it, and I believed it. I'd been taught about Jesus Christ ever since I was a little boy. I'd went to church, I'd heard about it, but it never got down here. But in 1966 is when I said, okay, I went far enough. I threw my songbook down in the seat, and I walked up to the front. Preacher took the Bible and showed me how to be saved, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and that's where it's at today. It didn't anywhere else. It didn't in that preacher that knelt beside me. It didn't in that church building in which I got saved. No. It's in Jesus, the Son of God, you see. I've trusted him as my personal Savior. And so this is what this lady did. She heard it, she believed it, and she trusted. Now go with me over to the book of Acts, please, the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. So then the Spirit, verse 29, says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? You'll notice here that Philip was sent to give him the message of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Ethiopian eunuch heard it. He heard the message, and the Bible tells us he preached Jesus unto him. He preached Jesus. In other words, he heard the message of salvation. He heard how to be saved. And then if you look in verse number 36, and let me read verse number 35. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I want to know something. Did that man believe that at that point? He believed it. He said, you know what? I hear you telling me about Jesus Christ. You preach Jesus unto me. You've also taught me about baptism. Folks, let me just give you a disclaimer. This old thing that's come around in years and years of this thing, you want to wait later on to tell them about baptism, is unscriptural. So, well, you got to get them to church here, and you're going to drive them away. If they're going to get driving away, then they're probably not saved anyway. I'm saying to you, you tell them about Jesus, and you tell them what Jesus expects you to do next. That's get baptized. That's the right, that's a proper way to do it. You see, sometimes we're afraid, well, if I tell them that, well, they won't come to church. You don't worry about those things. Let God take care of all that stuff. You just do what he says, what is proper, what is right, you see, and we do it. So this man believed. And not only did he hear, but he also believed the message. He said, now what hinders me from being baptized? And so he goes on in verse number 37, and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And there is where he put his faith, his trust in Jesus Christ. He said, "He's the Son of God, just like you preached to me. And I believe it." And right after that, if you will notice, right after that, he got baptized. Amen. Now, baptism doesn't save anybody. You know that. Doesn't save anybody. But I'm saying to you, it is an evidence of salvation. It is something you should do after you get saved. Right? And the Word of God tells us that we should get baptized after we get saved. It isn't salvation. You get saved by believing, by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this man here did that. He trusted him. He said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" He said, nothing if you believe in all your heart. He said, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." He believed it, you see, and he put his trust in him. Now turn with me to the book of Acts, 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse number 30, please. Of course, this was where Paul and Silas was in jail. You're familiar with that. They were singing and praising God and praying down there in the prison in stocks. And of course, the earthquake come and the foundation of the prison was shaken. The doors were all open. The stocks was all loosed and all those things. What a miracle of God. And of course, that jailer was scared to death. To lose a prisoner meant his physical life. More likely, he would have to die because he lost that prisoner. So he comes and says in verse number 8, he said, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang it and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He said, he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, all I know is this. I don't know whether it was here in prison, whether it was some other place. All I know, he had been taught about Jesus Christ. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" He was looking for salvation. He wanted to know what it was. And of course, then he told him, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." He gave him the message. Here is the message. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There it is. That's the message. Okay? So we know that not only did he hear it, he also believed it. And he accepted it. Because how do you know that, Brother Ross? Well, because right after that, He went and brought Silas and Paul in and washed their wounds on their back and took care of them. And the Bible says he was baptized. He believed with all of his house. He believed. No, that wasn't just a heart belief. He believed. And because he believed then, it didn't save him, but he got baptized. He wanted his house to believe. He wanted those in his household to know Christ also, not just himself. And so did he hear it? Yes, he did. Did he believe it? Yes, he did. Did he trust Christ? Yes, he did. He put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, again, I say to you, you've got to make the decision today. Have you not only heard the message? Have you also believed it? And have you trusted? That's where your trust, that's where your faith is for your salvation. Right here, in your heart. That's what you believe, you see. Now, let me give you a couple of illustrations. I'm going to talk about all you people, all of us people that are so rich. And someone comes up to you and you say, "You know, I've got so much money, I don't know what to do with it." And someone will say to you, "Well, you know, I know a bank down the road here. It's a good bank, good reputation. If you'll just go down to that bank, put your money in there, why, it'll be all right because they've got a good reputation, they're good folk." First of all, you heard the message about the bank. You went down to the bank. You believed it. You put your fortune in it. You trusted it. Poor illustration, but one that ought to help us. You see, you've got to hear about it. You've got to believe it. Never would have been down to that bank if you didn't believe it. But then the real thing is, did you trust that bank to take your money? Amen. So, did you hear about Jesus? Did you believe the message of Jesus Christ? Well, did you trust and put your soul in his hands? You know, I was telling our Sunday school class that I went to the eye doctor this week, and there was a young man in there that had been burnt His eyes had been burnt with welding flash arc. He looked at it and watched it, and his eyes just looked horrible. And anyway, that had nothing to do with this, but I was down at the eye doctor. And I had heard from somebody about this eye doctor. Now let me just say something to you. This is a commercial. It's free. I made a mistake when I went to Walmart and got my glasses. Now, you may not have. That's fine. But I made a mistake, because there was some things wrong with my eyes that ought to have been caught. So this doctor, I heard about this doctor, and I went to the doctor, and I believed that doctor could help me because I went. But I want to tell you something. When I let him go in there and start taking pictures of my eye and doing all those other things, I had trusted him. Do you hear me? I don't know where you're at. I'm just telling you this. I'm trying to give you some warning. Amen? You need to understand there has to be a trust. Amen. You can hear about an airline. You've heard these things. You can hear about a United Airline or whatever it might be. You can go buy your ticket. You believe it. But until you get on that plane, you've never trusted it. Same way with salvation. Poor illustrations, probably. But let me say to you, you must hear it, you must believe it, and you must trust in Him for salvation. Won't you just listen to me just a couple moments? The Bible tells us about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is to accept the gift that He has for us. Again, God has a gift. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. You must hear that message. And you must believe that gift is available to you, for you. But it'll never be yours until you reach out and receive it. It can be there, the most wonderful gift in all the world, and it is. But until you reach out and receive that gift, God will never force it on you. It's a gift. You can't buy it, can't purchase it, can't do anything whatsoever for it. But you must receive it. The Bible talks about coming unto Christ. Ye that are laboring, heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. But you can't have that rest till you come unto Him. Amen. You may want it, but you can't have it until you come. Bible in John, we're not going to go over there, but the book of John talks about Jesus referred to receiving Him as taking a drink. Drink of that water which I give you. It'll be a well of water springing up into eternal life. He said it's like taking a drink. He said you may have heard about how good it is. You may have it, they see it there, and it may be right before your eyes, and you may know that it's good and it's right and it's a good drink, but it's not yours till you drink it. And that's the way it is with eternal life. So I say unto you again, we've got to understand, you see, that to come to Christ means we've got to call upon Him. Yes, we've heard the message. Yes, we say we believe it. You're like me if you're here like that. I've believed it all my life. I've been taught it since a little boy in Sunday school. But not until 1966, when I was 26 years old, did I literally put my faith and my trust and call upon Him to receive that gift He had for me. And that's the difference. If you had asked me before 1966, Brother Ross, you think you're going to heaven? I don't know what I would literally have said, but my thinking was like this. I don't know why I wouldn't. I believe about God. I've always tried to be a good guy. So why wouldn't I go to heaven? Well, I found out the message of Jesus Christ is it's not being good that gets you to heaven. It's just the opposite. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. And I must not only hear it, I must believe it. And then I must put my faith and trust in Him. So I'm saying to you this morning, please, consider what the preacher said this morning. I've tried to keep it simple because I'm kind of a simple fellow. But I've tried to keep it simple, and I think what we've said this morning, you can understand. And God wants you to be saved. God loves you so much, so much. He died for you. but he won't force you to get saved. Amen? So please, please, let him deal in your heart. If you're here unsaved, I'm sure God's speaking to you. I'm sure he is. Don't turn it aside. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your wonderful grace and wonderful message of salvation. And I pray, Father, those here that might be unsaved, God, that you will help them not only to believe with their head, but Lord, to believe with their heart, put their faith, their trust, commit everything to you for their salvation. And I pray that'll happen this morning, and we'll sure give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.